Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, the first podcast of the offseason. Literally earlier this week, we saw Kaiser hoist a red banner, and Christmas or no Christmas, NAIA football and the content marches on. And so it's going to be a tight squeeze this offseason with the 20-team playoff now. A little less room for some of the teams that I would consider fun. But for you, the listener, that means double episodes for some weeks. And leading it off this year, this guy I've wanted to talk to for most of the season. Starting it off on a good note with Coach Drew Maddox from Louisiana Christian. Coach, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
Hey, doing good. It is, when we're recording this, it's 3 days to Christmas. By the time we release it, it'll be a little after Christmas. But everything going good? You got all the gifts picked and everything?
Yeah, we do. So I have two kids, you know, so we've not been trying to play dad here lately and buying gifts for the wife and all that good stuff. So it's been a fun time. Christmas time is always fun, especially for coaches. You know, we normally get about a week and a half, 10 days off right there in Christmas, especially the smaller level schools. So it's been good.
Tell you the truth, I've got my gifts for my wife, but they are not wrapped yet. So I've got to get that done.
That's a man thing to do. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know. Well, one thing that I know for sure, the last few years as Louisiana Christian has come into the scene in the Sooner is that literally nobody likes playing in Pineville, Louisiana. I mean, that is you got some serious home cooking going on there.
Yeah, for sure. I've heard stories and I've watched this podcast one of them before, heard people talk about it, you know. I think it takes a legend of its own a little bit. But I can tell you this, we haven't lost here in over 2 years. So,
yeah, I mean, I hear it's a trek from the visitors' locker room.
Yeah, I heard that. Yes, that's you know, it's like a mile. You know, if you hear some people talk, but it's actually 0.17 of a mile. It's not even a quarter mile walk. I want to go ahead and put that out there for anybody that thinks that it's too far and it's just like such a big deal. It's not even a quarter of a mile. The home team, which is us, has to walk 0.31 miles.
Oh, he's done
so
the homework.
We actually walk double as far as the visitors. I just want to let everybody know that. But we're built for it over here. Some people might not be built for it. And I'll get a dig at whoever wants to cry about coming over to my place and walking that far and all that. But goodness gracious, man. No, it's funny. I mean, I guess it is far, you know, compared to some places. So anyways.
I mean, you know, you're about smack dab. If you were to draw like a crosshairs on the state of Louisiana, y'all are right about in the middle. I guess maybe some of those teams aren't used to a little bit of the humidity of the South. I mean, you know, I don't know how much humidity Dallas, you know, would get or Tex West or any of those places. Louisiana's a little bit different. Those swamps give off a little bit, but that might be a little further south.
No, you hit the Alexandria areas where we're at, so we're right in the middle. We're, you know, 2 hours away from Baton Rouge, and you know, if you drive about 3 hours south of here, 2.5 hours south of here, you're going to hit the Gulf. So, you know, we get a little bit of that humidity around here. It normally hovers anywhere between 90% and 100% humidity.
So. I hear that as being sandwiched between Tallahassee and the coast here in Florida myself. I understand. It's in a you get the humidity with any of that nice Gulf breeze to whisk it away, and it is
That's right.
it gets oof.
It just sits on you for sure.
Oh, and it's worse in the winter. People think the summer's bad. The winters are even worse.
It can get cold, especially with that moisture in the air.
Well, Coach, it's been an exceptional season for LC. You know, everywhere I go, every time I look on the website, LC is making it known, you know, their accolades this year, and rightly so. It was a great season, most wins in program history in a single season. You started off with the Border Claw battle. You take out East Texas Baptist. You got two Southern – look, man, I go to a Southern Baptist church. You put two Baptists against each other, and it's going to be a heck of a fight.
Yeah, for sure. It's a fun game, and you know we hadn't gotten to play that game in the last couple of years. And my very first game as a head coach here, when we were still in the ASC Division III, we beat those guys. So it was they've been after me for 2 years about wanting to play it again and all that. So anyways, they got their wish.
34-14 wish there. You keep going. You beat Langston at Langston, which is not it's not easy to do. You know, Langston program with a lot of pride.
They're super good. They're a lot better than I think everybody kind of thought. To be honest with you, they're really good. They'll be even better, I think, next year. They'll bring some people back.
They do a fantastic job over there. Yep. And then you get to the back half of your season, and you're cruising right along, and you have that bump against Ottawa of Arizona. You have to go all the way out to Surprise, and you take a 3-point loss there. You get down early in the game, just can't make it back in the third.
Yeah, no, it was a heck of a game. Look, so, you know, Coach does a great job out there. They're very well coached, and it's a hard place to go too. You know, they're going to make you play at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. their time, which is really 9 p.m. for us. So it's, I mean, and so, you know, there's no excuses or anything like that, but it's a tough place to play because your drive for us, we drove 20 hours. We didn't get to fly it. So we bust that. And, so it was everything that I thought it would be. And I was actually really proud of our guys. I think it probably helped us, down the road because they are a program that's been consistently really good, been in the playoffs. Played some people always in the top 25 and all that. So, you know, we're right there. A couple plays, you know, we missed botched a hole on a field goal attempt that we probably would have nailed from 30 yards out. That game would have been tied right there. We're probably going to overtime. So, anyways, it was a good game for us to learn and try to beat a really good opponent on the road. And it actually helped us out, I think, moving forward.
I will admit, I don't get to watch or keep up with the scores of the Arizona team's games because I am an old man at heart, and 10 o'clock is too late for me to be up watching football. I'm not one of those psychos that watches Hawaii over on the, you know, at 11 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, you just do your best when you're traveling over there for a coach. You know, you do your best to get your guys acclimated and change the sleep schedule a little bit that week and try to do your best like that. But anyways, it's an awesome venue. They pack it out, and it was a great place to play.
Then you have a couple of get-right game against Sagu, a 46-27 win there. You scrimmage against John Melvin, who I'm real excited to see them come online. They're in Louisiana too, aren't they?
They are. They're about an hour and a half south of us, so we'll kind of see what they do. And coach called me earlier in the year and asked if we could play, and I was like, yeah, we'll have to scrimmage it. But you know, I kind of like that. I didn't want to have a bye week right before we probably went and played for the conference title. And so we kind of took it as a scrimmage and kept our guys in and played some of the younger guys and try to get ready for the following week.
And I mean, it's always good to have that period, but your next week is against Tex West in Fort Worth. Did you know going into that game that to win the Sooner, not only did you have to win, but you had to win by 10?
I did.
Okay.
I did. We had made some calls, and I made sure that I was understanding right what had to happen. And we could have won the conference. We would have split the conference. But to get the automatic bid and win it outright, we had to win by 10. And so you know, my approach going into that thing was we're going for it all. You know, it was a strange game. You know, it's like I got the lead by seven, and, you know, we could have, I mean, that thing, that field goal could have got blocked. They could have returned it back. We're in overtime. They come back and beat us. We don't even win conference. And so it was a strangest game I've ever been a part of coaching and all that, but we went for it all.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, if you're going to get the experience of being in the playoffs, you're going to have to take chances, and you did. It works out for you. I just love sometimes all the math that has to go on. Okay, wait a minute. If the sun is in the fourth house and
it was. We definitely had some conversations with our conference and some people going into that game. I think all the coaches that had anything in it was wanting to know, you know, is it a differential? Is it all out point? What is it? And then finally we figured it all out. And so I kind of knew going in we needed to win by that.
And then obviously your season comes to a close at a good Baker team. A fun game to watch. I mean, if you really, there were two games that really heavily featured the run, y'all's and Ottawa Dort. You know, both teams really like to run the football in that situation. Just couldn't get it done there despite it taking that early lead.
Yeah, it was a great experience for our guys and even for me. You know, I didn't know it all had to go into all that. I'm really hands-on here. And, you know, you get told on Sunday night where you're going to go. And so Monday, I don't have a director of football operation that does all that. I do it. And so Monday, I'm not game planning. I'm trying to get hotels and buses and everything else that you can think of to get up there while my coaches are doing the game plan and all that. So really, I didn't get on game plan until Tuesday afternoon when I had all the meals done, when we had all the hotels, when we had all the, because it took me a day to find buses because, you know, the state of Louisiana were playing high school games during that time. And so all the buses were already taken up because a lot of those guys knew they were going to hit the playoffs based on seeding. And yeah, so we didn't know until we won the game on Saturday that we were going to go. And so I had to scramble. I think we called like nine or 10 bus companies. Finally, we got one to come back and say that they could get us up there and all that. So I say all that to say, for me as a coach, it was good. It was good to learn and know I'll do some things different next time and be prepared for some of those things to where I can get a jump on it. So
offensively, you've got a lot coming back, especially on your offensive line, where you've got a first-teamer in Arion Randall and second-teamers in Xavier Jackson and Jaden Washington coming back. And obviously, I mean, with the style of football y'all play, where you've got two all-conference running backs, you've got a quarterback who is more than capable of running the football, having those guys up front to pave the way has got to be key for y'all's offensive progression next season.
Yeah, for sure. So when I kind of took over here, you know, I made an emphasis on we want to run the ball. We throw the ball a lot too. I mean, Sal this past year threw 22 touchdowns and over 2,000 yards. But we put a premium on running the football. We want to be physical. We want to be able to, you know, we get inside the 10-yard line, we want to be able to just run it right at you. And we don't have to make all these fancy plays that I see everybody having to do, you know, down in the gut. We just want to run right at you. We want to run ISO if we can and toss and things like that. And so it's good. It'll be good. A lot of those guys will be back. And so a lot of experience coming back. Our two deep, you know, we had three right tackle or right guards go down this year, one with an ACL, one with a broken ankle in the first game of the year. So we developed a lot of depth at the guard positions and tackle positions this year. So our O-line's going to be in a good spot. You know, Daylon Charles coming back, I can't remember what he rushed for, but he was probably 700 or 800 yards rushing this past year, and he's a second-team all-conference guy. And then Tavion Cunningham is coming back as well. He rushed for 600 yards. He was a freshman transfer kid. He'll be back, so he'll kind of, you know, put into one of those spots that Briscoe left. And biggest deal is going to be we got to find a trigger man. We'll have to figure out a quarterback, and we got one that we think can do it. And we're also going to look, see if we can't find a transfer that we might like. And, but offensively, we're set up pretty well. You know, you got a couple of receivers back, and we're getting a transfer receiver coming in this spring that we know, and he'll do a really good job as well. He'll probably buy some spots, and so we feel like when you lose Sal, it's hard to say, but we feel like we could even be better on offense just because we know that it starts up front. And if you're bringing back five offensive linemen plus two or three guys in the 2D, and the running backs that know that system, hopefully we'll be all right.
You almost hit the nail right on the head with Dalen. 778 yards, 7,800. Yeah, you were right there in the ballpark. Sammy Feaster, they were the 30 yards per reception. If you can find some guys that can make sure that he can slip by and make those big explosive plays happen, yeah, y'all will be set up nice. Defensively, you've got a guy coming back at every level of your defense, an all-conference guy coming back at every level of your defense, I should say. Logan Bremer, a first-team all-conference guy at D lineman. A linebacker, Kevin Turiak, and DB Tyron Young. You are losing Pop McGee there, if that man could have gotten his hands on, three or four of them 16 pass breakups he had, he would have had himself a heck of a year.
Yeah, yeah, those. Big, he has a real long arm, so Pop's like 6'2", and his arms, dangle past his knees. He used to play basketball. We kind of gave him a chance, when he came here, we kind of gave him a chance because he had only played 1 year of football coming out of high school, and he was a basketball kid. Played a lot of man, on the basketball court, and we could tell his hips were good and he could run and all that. So we play a lot of man over here, and we figured he could do it. He really excelled at it. I agree. Playing a lot of man, if you're doing it right, it's hard to get some interceptions. You're going to get more passes broken up than you would interceptions. But, he did a good job for us this year.
So next year, you've got one team on the schedule already. You're going big on this one. It's Houston Christian out of FCS, not Pioneer FCS, mind you. Straight 60-plus scholarship FCS, Southland Conference. Tell us about Houston Christian and getting that game.
Yeah, so we scheduled that game like 2 years ago, probably back in 21, I believe, and in the spring of 21. But anyways, yeah, they weren't that good when we scheduled it. They were coming off like a 1-11 year, 1-10 year, a new coach came in this past year and. I think they went 5-6 or something, so he's got it going in the right direction and all that. But it'll be fun to go down there and play a Division I opponent. A lot of our players always talk about, let's see, D1 and all. So in 21, we went and played Abilene Christian, which is another opponent. We went over there, and they beat a 60-7 or whatever it was. But anyways, it's it's a money game for us, and we have to have that here, and it is what it is. But we'll go have some fun and definitely hit them in the mouth and see what they're about.
Yeah, I mean, not everyone is there are a variety of opinions on the money games. I'm of the opinion that you got to have the cash flow from somewhere. And if that's how you can do it, that's how you can do it. And look, we had a couple of teams that went and punched other teams in the mouth this year, whether it be Montana Tech, I believe, with Central Washington, I think, or one of those teams up there in Washington, and Northwestern beat Drake this year. Yeah. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, to be fair, Houston Christian was like bottom 20 in Bill Connolly's SP Plus rankings. So,
Yeah, we'll have a good time. That's the biggest deal. That's how we look at those games. I tell our players not a lot of pressure. The thing with that is they're supposed to beat you. That's why they're writing the check. And like you said, they have 60 scholarships. I promise we don't have near that over here. And so we're we'll go over and like I said, see what they're about.
One of the biggest things and one of the most interesting things to me is Louisiana Christian has transitioned into the NAIA from D3. You go from non-scholarship football to scholarship football. And talk to me a little bit about that process there and what it's been like on the NAIA side.
It's been good. I didn't really know a whole lot about the NAIA. When I took over here, there was talk that we might, and it was kind of a deal like, hey, coach, now that we have you here, like, what do you feel about this? You know, and I was like, you know what? I don't know. I'm not educated enough on it to say anything, but maybe. So, and then once I got to look at it, I liked it. I liked the fact that that we could offer scholarships, because where we were at in the American Southwest Southwest Conference with Mary Hardin Baylor and Hardin Simmons and a lot of those big hitters in D3, you should see their facilities. Their facilities are pretty amazing.
Yeah, Mary Hardin Baylor's not exactly who you want to be facing off against on a regular basis in D3. That's a blue blood for sure.
Well, the thing about the D3 is really just like who has the nicer facilities, because you're not giving them scholarship money, and when you go over to a place like Mary Hardin Baylor that sunk $50 million into their football facility or whatever, and ours is not even a million. It's just and so you're always going to lose. If there's a kid that we were fighting, you're going to lose that recruiting battle every time. And so however they do it over there, they got it rolling. And Hardin Simmons had the same thing, And those, it's no knock on them. We cannot compete with facilities here. But if you give us scholarships, we can, because we're in Louisiana. We just now became another school, Centenary, Division III school in Shreveport, that's coming on the scene. But we were the only non-D1 in the state of Louisiana. So for me to go in and tell a kid, hey, we're going to offer you a half a scholarship, and there's a TOPS deal here in the state of Louisiana where if they have over a 20 ACT and a 2.5 core, they get a money from the state, which is a grant from the state. And so when you go in and I say, hey, 85% of your school is paid for, we instantly became something that people that wanted to go to. And so there's a reason why we've gotten a lot better. And since I've been here, we made the transition to the NAIA, where we've kind of started running. And I know, we're losing a few and all that, but we feel like we've done a good job recruiting, and I hope we're here to stay, for as long as I'm here. And part of that is the transition to the NAIA, being able to be a scholarship model and show kids that it's affordable to go to school at a great institution, and they'll get a great degree and be able to play football. So it's been fun for us.
I mean, honestly, you think about it. Louisiana, and especially where you are in the state, being able to reach up to places in the north and have that be accessible, and being able to go down to the south and into New Orleans and be able to do that. Louisiana is not starving for football talent in the slightest. Go ask LSU how much Louisiana talent they've got coming out their ears.
Yeah, I mean, it's a place that's just, they've got a lot of good football players that a lot of them are, there's not a lot of funding in Louisiana. So I always say this about Louisiana kids. There, a lot of them are underdeveloped. There's only about 20 programs in this state that are really good at weights from a young age, at strength conditioning, at food, at all that stuff. And the rest of them are just doing their best. I was a head coach here in high school in the state of Louisiana, and a lot of those guys are just doing their best at fielding the team and making them work out. But once you get them to the college level and you can get them every day and you work them out and you make them go to get meals and you do all that, those guys kind of like Pop McGee, kind of like Kaven Turiak, Logan Bremer, a lot of those guys, Jacob Gannot, who was just an all those guys were 190 pounds, 205 Jeez. Pounds, and not very fast when they got here, and the program has made them better. So I always say it's Louisiana, there's a lot of raw talent, and once they get in, the ceilings, you go to some of these places, and in the States, and they've done such a good job at coaching them from eighth grade on, because they had a strength coach in eighth grade working them out, and so once they hit 17 or 18, they're kind of tapped out on their talent level. They're not going to get very much better. But Louisiana kid, that some of these places they come from that aren't very developed, you're going to get a kid he'll blow up. I mean, if he's got all the measurables already and he really hasn't done very much, you'll be able to get him to play really well. And we've had success with some of those guys that have stayed in the program 2 or 3 years that just developed their bodies. And you look up and they're just freaks before it's all over with.
Well, Coach, I know one thing about football, whether it's Louisiana, whether it's Florida, whether it's Oregon, Washington, wherever you play it, heck, even other sports, if you're not constantly looking to get better, you're going to be falling behind as everyone else gets better. What kind of area of your program, whether it be on the field or off the field, are you really looking to improve this upcoming year?
Just being candid as possible, this is the second program that I've been at, and I flipped both of them, but I never stayed past the flip. Like, we got really good, and then I rolled, the last high school I was at, we got really good, and then I left, and they went, 10-3 the year after I left, and went to the quarterfinals and the playoffs and all that. And then I came here and started trying to rebuild this program. It looks like I'll be here next year, and so for me, it's going to be, can we sustain it? For me, it's, as a coach, this is the first time that I've stayed long enough to figure out, hey, can we really build off of a great season and the encore? And that's going to be the biggest deal. So this whole, this whole Christmas time, I've been sitting around thinking, what can we do to make sure that we don't let it fall off? And I think the culture that we've kind of built here, and I hate that word, I like standard better. Everybody says culture. I like a standard. I was an old military guy. I was in the military before I became a coach. But the standard that we've set here is that we're just going to work hard because that's what you're supposed to do. And so I think it'll be on us to, not listen to some of the chatter. As Coach Saban would say, some of the rat poison, and just make sure that we're doing the things that got us to be good in the first place. And so that's what I would tell you from outside, just taking a step back, looking, where's the program? We have a chance to do what we did this past year, I promise. We have enough players coming back. We're going to be good again. But it'll be, will we do the things necessary to get to where we were this past year? And if we get back to the playoffs, will we learn from what happened? And and try to make a run at it and try to win some games and make some noise instead of just making noise for three quarters.
Now, I mean, you never say never, and you don't have to respond to this at all. I mean, I remember, golly, it must have been about 4 years ago now, interviewed the guy that's over at North Alabama now, and, he was the coach at Bethel of Tennessee. When we did the podcast, and then 2 weeks later, AFCA rolls around, and he's off with Les Miles in Kansas, and I'm like going, oh, man, of course, if Les Miles comes calling, I don't care who you are.
Yeah, he'd be fun. He'd probably be fun to work for sure. I can only imagine. I've met him a few times when I was an assistant coach in Louisiana. And all that when he was at LSU. So yeah, he's a funny guy to kind of hang out with and talk to for sure.
As long as he got a real grass field, I can't imagine he likes chewing the fake stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. Thank you so much for coming on with us this evening. Appreciate you and LC and doing the good work over there in Louisiana, getting the NAI footprint over there. It was an absolute blast the couple of years that I got to go over there for the national championship game over at Grambling State Stadium and going to see that and getting to experience that culture. So I know football runs deep over there, and we appreciate everything you're doing over there in Louisiana.
We appreciate everything you do for NAI football too. I know a lot of people watch this, your show and the podcast throughout the year and all this stuff, and they look at it on Twitter and all that. So you're building, helping us build the brand and all that. So we really appreciate everything that you guys do.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.